such emotion, though. Dwarves were boisterous when angry, loud when drinking, and according to Crom, titans in bed.
A man's true hate only be judged laying down, your lordship.
If Richter had heard his smith say that one more goddamn time... He shook his head free of the irritating remembrance. The point was, the Chaos Seed had only seen the dwarves reverent once before, and that was when the Forge of Heavens had been created. Darkstone? Richter asked, hoping someone would clue him in. Bowden didn't even look at his liege when he answered. His eyes stayed glued to the black metal. In his distraction, the dwarf's brogue came through a bit more than normal.
It'd be a higher level of moonstone. Much harder, my lord. Much tougher. You normally only find it buried in the deepest and largest moonstone veins. Even then, you will only find a wee bit.
It's rarer than moonstone? Richter asked, suddenly interested. Call him what you want, but he was always on the lookout for newcomers and a good deal. His question finally pulled Bowden's eyes away from the black sword.
Do you truly not know? The metal in this here blade would be enough for tribes to war over. In the mountains, only royal smiths or master smiths could even touch the stuff. Anything else would be against the law. This be a level 2 metal, your lordship. Darkstone be 100 times, 1,000 times rarer than moonstone, and this be smelted into a strong blade. The knack of working level 2 metals be closely guarded. Some say glass actually be a level 2 metal, which accounts for why it be harder than a diamond cock in winter. Even if we had ingots of pure darkstone, we couldn't forge it without knowing the secret of its smithing. Not even with all the abilities of the Forge of Heaven could I have made such a blade. This be a miracle! I never thought I would actually see a darkstone weapon, and yet I even had a hand in creating it. Once again you have shown me a wonder, Lord Richter. You truly are amazing, my lord.
The look in his eyes was almost adoring, and the Chaos Seed could see it mirrored in the faces of almost every other smith. A prompt appeared in Richter's vision. Your enchanting has led to the transformation of a moonstone blade into its level 2 form, Darkstone. This, in addition to your creation of a magic forge, has greatly endeared you to the smiths of your village. Their loyalty, morale, and relationship with you have all increased. Loyalty of smiths of the Mist Village increased by +50. Morale of smiths of the Mist Village increased by +100. You have gained +5,000 relationship points with every smith of your village. Richter also received a cascade of prompts giving him the specific improvements in relationship with over 20 of his villagers, all with the smithing skill. Bowden's relationship specifically became loyal. Once again, Richter was awed by the real-world effects of the prompts he received when, one after another, the smiths went down on one knee. Human and dwarf alike began to swear their fealty to him. It even began a cascade of a few other villagers that had apparently been on the fence about accepting him as their liege lord, and soon there were nearly 50 villagers making the oath. Richter knew that his people were generally happy. They were even elated, based on the overall morale of the village. That didn't mean they had all sworn fealty, however. In theory, everyone that had come to the settlement was his employee. While he didn't like thinking about it, at the end of their 1-year contract, they were all free to go. It was a potentially huge security risk, but Richter had already decided that he wouldn't keep anyone against their will after they had fulfilled their obligation. Those that chose to swear fealty were different. Doing so meant that they had accepted him not only as the lord of the village, but also as their liege lord. They swore to follow his commands and to do their best to serve him. Most importantly, it was a lifelong pledge. Bowden spoke first. The others followed after him in perfect sync a half moment later.
I formally swear allegiance and loyalty to you, my Lord Richter. From now until my very death, I will protect you and your interests to the best of my ability and without deceit.
Once again, there was a moment of stillness in the smithy. The phrases they had spoken might not have been a spell, but it was clear that they were magic in some way, shape, or form. Every time someone swore fealty, they used almost exactly the same words. It was almost as if something were speaking through them, or perhaps they were harnessing an ancient power that demanded a specific ritual. Richter was reminded again and again that in the land, words had power. Swearing fealty created an actual bond between himself and the people kneeling before him. He responded with his own ritual words. "I accept your oath of fealty and swear to honor your pledge with the same gravity in which it was given." His people looked at him with happiness and love. The only sour note was one smith standing in the background with a disgruntled look on his face. Richter recognized him as Ardrim, a dwarven smith of the Bonecrusher clan. He had challenged Crumb's supremacy in the forge several months before. It hadn't come to anything, but Richter had kept his eye on the man ever since. A resounding cheer rang out as his new vassals celebrated each other and clapped one another on the back. Richter found himself smiling, caught up in the festivity of it all, and thoughts of Ardrim fled. He looked around and called out, "Tirad? Is Tirad here?" The captain answered from behind the crowd.
"I am, my lord."
Richter had had a feeling that a collection of villagers would draw his companion's interest. With a broad smile on his face, he said,
"Come up here, man. Make room. Let our captain of the guard come through."
The crowd started parting, and Tirad made his way into the forge. There were dozens of people in the smithy at that point. Richter had a small laugh as he thought about how Crumb would be cursing up a storm if he were here. The Chaos Seed was the lord of the village, but after him, Crumb had near absolute power in the Forge of Heavens. The salt and pepper dwarf was known to get a bit violent with anyone he saw as an interloper in his personal kingdom. The rest of the villagers were enjoying the newfound freedom the dwarf's absence afforded. While Tirad walked closer, Richter examined the updated stats for the sword. You have found Dense Dark Stone Longsword of Shattering Ice. Attack 29 to 36. Durability 176 of 176. Item class scarce. Quality superb. Weight 6.9 kilograms. Traits: plus 10% damage versus spell barriers, plus 9 to 10 earth damage, plus 200% versus air, plus 300% versus crystalline, 7 to 8% chance to disarm, 3% chance to shatter, plus 4 to 5 water damage, plus 100% versus fire, 4% chance to freeze. Wounds inflicted with dark stone will fester and interfere with mana regeneration. Charges, 468 of 468. He couldn't deny that the weapon was more impressive than before. The attack had gone up nearly 25%. The durability had also gotten a serious hike. The weight had gone up as well, but that was a small price to pay. There weren't any new enchantments, but it seemed that a quality inherent in Darkstone was that it interfered with mana regeneration. If an accomplished melee fighter ever closed with a mage, it should generally be game over anyway, but this medal would assure it. Richter had always thought that the special ability of the forge meant another enchantment might be added. The fact that it could change the very metal itself opened up a whole world of possibilities. Just what else could the forge do? Tirad walked closer to him, and Richter threw an arm around his shoulders before addressing the crowd.
"You all know our captain!"
There was a chorus of cheers, and his companion raised an arm in acknowledgement.
"This man," Richter began again, "this man has laid his life on the line again and again for you, for me, for all of us."
More cheers rang out, and Tirad began to get embarrassed.
"He has suffered and fought, not for reward, but because he is a good man. He is someone who we can trust. Do you trust him?"
The shouts of agreement were almost deafening that time.
"Doesn't such a man deserve a weapon to fit his bravery?"
Richter shouted out.
"Yes! Cheers for Captain Tirad! Cheers for Lord Richter! Cheers for the Mist Village!"
was the resounding response. Tirad was looking at the black blade and shaking his head, but Richter wouldn't hear anything about it. The enchanted blade was apparently worth more than its weight in gold, but his friend and companion was worth 10 of them as far as he was concerned. The man deserved a better weapon, and Richter decided he would glue it to his hand if need be. The crowd continued to cheer, moved by their lord's generosity and his obvious affection for his captain. If a noble could care about one commoner, then he might care about them as well. That was a miracle even greater than seeing the Dark Stone for most of them. Richter hadn't planned for his gift to have such a positive PR effect, but he certainly planned to capitalize on it now that it was happening. He grabbed Tirad's hand and raised their clasped grip above their heads in a victory salute. They faced the crowd together, and the cheering grew even louder somehow. Richter was grinning ear to ear. No matter what came in the future, nothing could ever steal the wonder of this one perfect moment. He looked over at Tirad and saw the uneasiness was still on the man's face. Richter laughed at his friend's humbleness.
Dude, stop fighting it! You deserve this!
It's not that, the captain stated with chagrin.
Then what, man?
Tirad looked at the wildly cheering crowd, then looked back at Richter before whispering,
It is too heavy. I do not meet the requirements for the sword, and will not for at least another level.
Richter's smile grew strained. If the crowd found out, it would ruin the whole mood, and he would not have anything spoiling his party that night. Daddy needed to relax! He thought for a moment, and then just whispered back out of the side of his mouth,
Don't let anyone else know. Keep playing along.
I'll make you another one.
The Chaos Seed broadened his grin and raised their clasped hands as if they were running for office. The crowd's enthusiasm soared one more time. Under his breath, though, he quietly expressed his true emotions.
Motherfucker!
Chapter 34, Day 142, Kuborn 32, 0 AOC. Once the tumult died down, Richter examined the blade again. Requirements usually never showed up in his item prompts unless there was something he didn't meet. With his relatively high level, that didn't happen overly often. It only took a mental tweak before the Dark Stone's requirements appeared, though. Requirements, 33 strength, 23 dexterity. No wonder the captain couldn't wield it. Bowden adding those other ingots and the sword's transformation into Darkstone had turned the blade into a seriously heavy sumbitch. Richter's stats were barely up to the task. Still, it was an amazingly powerful blade, and the enchantments were top-notch. Richter decided it was time for him to start using a longsword again. His own melee style focused on dual-wielding blades. Until recently, that had precluded him from using a long blade in either hand before because of a serious penalty to accuracy. He had even fallen over walking once when he'd tried to use anything other than two small weapons at once. Now that he had ranked up from novice to initiate in dual wielding, he could use a normal-sized weapon in one of his hands. He thought back to the fight with the Tuskers in the dungeon, and that cemented the idea. A bit more reach in battle would definitely be a good thing. He also couldn't deny the excitement he was feeling. Richter couldn't wait to absolutely wreck some fools with this new blade. He handed it back to Bowden so the dwarf could affix the blade to a hilt as soon as possible. The dwarf nodded and carried it back to the heavy elementum chest. When he opened the lid, though, something caught his eye, and his face adopted a speculative expression. Richter noticed none of this. He waved everyone away and dealt with the remaining notifications awaiting his inspection. Richter had assumed the prompts were about the changes in relationship, but the last one was a quest. You have unlocked a profession quest, the power of 2-1. Success conditions. You have progressed along the path of the enchanter. Make a total of 10 dual enchantments to complete this quest. Current progress, 1 of 10. Reward, 5 talent points. Do you accept? Yes or no? The universe really seemed to be softballing in the quest names now, Richter thought sourly. The power of 2-1? That was pure garbage, in his humble opinion. Like a girl talking to her third choice at last call, though, he just sighed and said, Yes. Ugly or not, profession quests put out cold, hard talent points, and he could always use more of those. He checked over the rest of his stats quickly and saw that at long last he had made some progress to his next skill level in enchanting. It was only 2 percentage points, but it was something. If Richter had known that dual enchantments were a way to power level his primary skill, then he would have bought the increased number of enchantments talent long before. It just proved how many secrets and wonders there were still left to discover in the land. The crowd dispersed, and Richter kept enchanting for another hour. He was able to make many more soul trap arrowheads, and he created several with life attack as well. There was even time to enchant a few more pieces of armor with life defense and defense plus two. Richter thought about trying another dual enchantment, but something made him want to wait. That was enough for him. He had always trusted his gut. He just hoped this time it didn't have crap for brains. Once he was done enchanting, he sat down and took a breather. Richter had accomplished a great deal today, but he had burned through a large amount of captured souls as well. It made him think about how many creatures would have to die to fuel his enchantments. Was what he was doing really any different than what the humans on Earth had been doing for centuries? Denuding forests, exploding mountains, and ruining nature, all to fuel their ambitions? Richter shook his head. The answer to those questions didn't matter if he wasn't willing to stop. The truth was, he wasn't. The Industrial Revolution had needed coal. The Genetic Revolution had preyed on the poor from third world countries. Richter's own Enchantment Revolution needed captured souls. He would harvest every soul in the forest if that was what it took to keep his people safe. No matter what, his village would survive. His introspective thoughts were interrupted by Bowden asking some technical questions about what the Forge should focus on the next day. The two men talked and came up with a game plan. By the time they were done, Richter's mood had lifted somewhat. This was the land. He would survive. He would prosper. He would grow in power. The lives of a few hundred monsters were a small price to pay to save the lives of his people. Another thought occurred to him that brought a smile to his face. He didn't have time to be melancholy. It was time to party! Richter decided to get cleaned up before the feast. Based on some of the things he had in mind, it was just polite. It was also never a bad idea to not smell like a gross gym bag when spending time with people, especially before dancing. He was also still cognizant of the first impression he had given the freed prisoners. True, he had helped them escape the cruel yoke of captivity, but he had been covered in gore and blood when it happened. That had been because he'd been killing their goblin captors, but they might not know that. You could not apply a rational argument to an emotional issue. Richter supposed many of them might even be worried that their savior was just as bad as the goblins that had enslaved them. Tonight wasn't just about celebrating life or having a good time. It was showing the freed prisoners that this was a place they could call home. He needed more able bodies. Richter stopped by the area where the villagers that took care of the wash sorted the clothes. To the amusement of his people, he stripped down to his small clothes. Then with a shrug, he took those off as well and threw them in the dirty pile. After that, he ran away to whoops and cheers. He called out over his shoulder, "Don't act like you're not impressed!" He breezed through the gate, throwing up a hand in greeting. The guards threw salutes to their lord in confusion.
"Should we go after him?" one asked.
"I don't want the sergeant chewing me out for leaving our post," another answered.
A third guard chimed in.
"The captain might be upset if we don't guard him, though."
It was silent for a moment. The first guard spoke up.
"You know, I don't think Lord Richter was waving. I think he was telling us to stay put."
They all looked at the woman in charge of the guard rotation. She thought about it for a moment, then nodded,
"Works for me."
They resumed their vigil. Richter noticed none of this. He ran through the cultivated fields outside of the village. The farmers looked up from their toils to see their naked lord running by. He already had a reputation for being slightly off, dancing to the beat of his own drum, being weird. So they just shook their heads and went on putting up their tools. Randolphus had made it clear that all were to enjoy themselves that night, so the work day was cut short. The KIC decided to put a little more juice into his run and tried to cast Weak Haste. The spell fizzled twice before it took hold. Casting on the run wasn't the easiest thing, and in all honesty, Richter wasn't focusing too well. The thought of swimming in the river was awesome. Plus, he could try out one of his new spells. When Richter got to the riverbank a few minutes later, he scrambled to the top of a large rock. Dropping his bag of holding and weapons behind him, he used the stone like a springboard. The KIC jumped as high and as far as he could out into the river. With his high strength, agility, and dexterity, he got some major air. He turned as he jumped to face the village. When he reached his peak, he hung in the air for a golden moment. The sun was coming through the trees, and the air was warm. His settlement was growing. Hundreds of people were living, laughing, and loving. The wall was almost complete, and it made him feel good to know his villagers were protected behind it. In that golden moment, all was right in the land. With a whoop, he fell into the cool river, and the water flowed over his head. He just existed under the water for a while. The hunters and fishermen scanned the river every day for predators, so he felt relatively safe. He still looked around quickly right after he was submerged. The battle with the river scats had shown him that seemingly still waters could be dangerous. Thankfully, no aquatic predators had come close to the village before, and there were none present now. Rising to the surface, Richter enjoyed his swim. Two times while he relaxed, prompts appeared in his vision. Alma, his cuddly little killer, had been draining creatures over the past few hours. None were high level, but it was adding up. Richter was in no way complaining. He would much rather that she picked off easy prey rather than taking on a high-level opponent. She was amazingly powerful, but when she committed to brain drain, she was basically helpless. You have been awarded 880 experience from brain drain against level 6 tufted varmint. XP deficit remaining, -171,392. You have been awarded 589 experience from brain drain against level 5 red tribble. XP deficit remaining, -170,803. It had been a hard lesson, but he realized that he couldn't protect everyone all the time. The truth was, his familiar was dangerous and wild. He was just happy she was on his side, and he couldn't argue with the results. She had already gained him 3,000 experience points. The last prompt made his heart race, though. He knew there were many horrors in the land, but he had never imagined. Richter made himself calm his thudding heart. He was sure it was just a coincidence. After about half an hour, Richter decided to test his new spells. He had started treading water and raised one arm well above the surface. Memories of playing water polo flooded his mind. It didn't seem like a violent sport to most, but that was because the water hid the nut grabs and gut punches. He had tread water for hours in practice, but his form had never been so fluid and sure on earth. He barely bobbed in the water. Whatever else might be true about the land, it had given him a body with superhuman capabilities. He began the incantation. Richter focused his conscious thoughts on the spell and let the back of his mind worry about staying above the water. His fingers were cocooned in magical blue energy, and he spoke words of power. He cast Weak Swift Swim. The blue light on his hand spread over his entire body. A second later, he started smiling. Water was inherently buoyant. Richter had always defined that as it helped him not sink. For the first time, he felt like the water was actively holding him up. Treading water hadn't been hard before, but now it was effortless. With a quick beat of his legs, he surged even farther out of the water and stayed like that with no problem. The Chaos Seed spent a moment just doing laps across the river. The water seemed to part in front of him, and he left small furrows in his wake. With a smile still on his face, Richter cast his next spell, Summon Weak Aether Carp. 3 seconds later, a portal appeared in the water. Richter felt a rush of cold when the water from wherever the fish was coming from rushed into his plane of existence. A 5-foot carp with steel-gray scales swam through. Richter guessed that it had to weigh 50 to 60 pounds. It had a broad, downturned mouth. It didn't have any teeth that he could see, but he could see it causing some damage if it rammed him at full speed. Even more interesting was that as it moved, wisps of purple and blue energy escaped from its scales in spots. It left a faint trail of light behind it as it swam around him in lazy circles. To Richter's surprise, a bar of purple appeared beneath his mana bar, and a prompt appeared in his vision. Know this, you have summoned an Aether Carp. This creature will serve not only to protect you, but will also augment your mana. Water magic that you cast in its presence requires 5% less mana. Richter had never been able to summon a creature that augmented his own magic. With the casting cost being only 42, it was more than worth the mana expenditure. He would regenerate that in less than 2 minutes. He was starting to see what Randolphus had meant when he said that rarer spells were powerful despite being low level. He looked the fish in the eye and made a mental connection with his psi bond ability. The bond was a paltry, flimsy thing, limited by the carp's inferior intellect. For his purposes, it was enough. He enjoyed making the fish swim here and there, watching the blues and purples it trailed behind it. Richter ultimately dismissed the creature. The portal reappeared and it swam back through. Strangely, he didn't feel any rush of cold this time. Once it was gone, he climbed out of the river and reached into his bag. Pulling out his fish ring, he took off his ring of minor healing. He slipped the fish ring on, giving himself 3 minutes of air underwater. The other ring went into his bag. Then he cast Teatro's weak water casting. If the spell description was right, he should be able to cast novice level life, water, and dark spells underwater. Richter had no idea why those particular spell schools were allowed and not the other 5 basic elements, but it was still cool. He finished the 4-second casting and then jumped back into the water. He swam down several feet, then looked back up. Even after months in the land, it was the simple things that amazed him. With a bit of trepidation, he took a breath. When he found that once again he could breathe underwater, a look of boyish glee overtook his face. He test-cast weak dark bolts. His fingers moved into a specific configuration. It took a bit of mental forcing to make his conscious mind speak underwater, but there was no ill effect when he did. The water did not even enter his open mouth, which let him know that even without the fish ring, he would be fine. Other times, he was able to drink with the ring on, but the spell kept his mouth dry. More importantly, 2 bolts of dark energy shot from his hand and through the water. The spell worked! He tried several other spells from the requisite 3 spell schools, and they all worked as well. On a whim, he tried to cast an earth spell, weak paralysis beam, but his mouth filled with water as soon as he started. He thought a green glow might have flickered around his fingers, but it could have just been his imagination. Richter climbed out of the water and walked over to his bag of holding. He switched the 2 rings back and then just lay there on the grass. The fading light still shone down through the trees. Even though it wasn't high overhead, the sun was warm and pleasant as his skin dried in the air. Soon, he was dry, and he took out a clean set of clothes. After he was clothed again, he put his weapons harness back in place. As a reflex, he lifted both blades ever so slightly from their sheaths to make sure they could be drawn quickly if needed. He walked back towards the village gate. It was near dusk now, and he caught sight of fireflies across the fields. The guards saluted as he entered the village. Richter was looking forward to the party that night, and by the smiles of many of his people, they were as well. It was remarkable how much difference a day made. The village had mourned together only the night before. There were certainly still tear-streaked faces, but those who had lost a loved one had been given another day off. Richter had even insisted on it. Randolphus had had food and drink prepared for them all day. Overall, he could tell that his people were content. He crossed into the village and was about to turn right towards the feast area when he had an absolutely awesome idea. He turned left instead and ran up to one of the paddocks. After a quick bit of pilfering, he had the item he needed. Then it was time to join his people. Just as Richter had expected, Randolphus had taken care of everything. A high table had been set up and more tables were arrayed before it. His villagers and the newly freed slaves were mingling and tables laden with food were dotted across this new impromptu campground. His people began cheering as he ascended a small stage the Chamberlain had brought over. "Greetings, people of the Mist Village," he began. The response was loud and emphatic. "Hail Lord Richter! We love you, my lord!" Richter cocked his head, expecting one more cheer. His eyes eagerly scanned the crowd, but nothing else was forthcoming. Well played, he thought, and continued his speech.
Tonight is about celebrating life. It has come with a high cost, but we are still here.
More cheers met his pronouncement.
Before we do anything else, let us celebrate the men and women of all races who fought for us.
The cheers and roars of celebration were thundering. The fighting men and women stood tall and looked ahead, many prouder in that moment than they had ever been in their lives. Richter let it go on for long minutes before silencing the crowd again.
I'm proud to have fought and served with each and every member of our army, he shouted. I'm equally proud to have fought alongside our honored allies, the Wood Sprites.
Richter turned towards Hisako and bowed deeply. The Hearth Mother inclined her head and smiled broadly at the respect he paid her. More cheers rang out.
Hooray for our allies! The Wood Sprites are always welcome at my table! I love those little guys!
Richter held up his hands again until the tumult died down.
As I said, I am proud to have gone into battle with the people of the Mist Village and the Sprites of the Hearth Tree. I wish I could single out each and every one of you, but
there is drinking to be done,
Sion called out from behind him. That got an especially loud series of cheers. Richter rolled his eyes at his best friend, but he was smiling as well.
But I would be speaking all night if I spoke about the heroism of all who had gone into battle with me. I will commend 6 special individuals who distinguished themselves in battle, however. When I call your names, step forward.
His voice gained the crack and snap of a military leader.
Captain Tirad, Sergeant Calder, Guard Ox, Guard Schroeder, Maidon Sprite Kenjiro, and First Maidon Sprite Sion, stand with me.
His companions and Calder exchanged surprised glances. They had had no idea this was going to happen. He had asked Tirad, Calder, and Sion to ensure that Ox, Schroeder, and Kenjiro were near the stage respectively, but hadn't told them they would also be part of the ceremony. All 6 did as they were told, however. A minute later, they were assembled.
These 6 men fought in my own warband. They were so ferocious and unyielding that the universe itself recognized their prowess.
Shouts and calls of congratulations rung out. Richter stepped in front of Schroeder and placed his hand on the guard's shoulder. A prompt appeared to both of them, explaining the field advancement he had earned and why. Richter bestowed the advancement and read it aloud so all could hear.
Congratulations! A leader's true strength stems from his followers. 6 members of your war party have distinguished themselves in battle and can now be promoted with field advancements. To activate these promotions, you must personally bestow them upon your party members. For fighting while wounded and slaying many foes despite his injuries, Schroeder has earned the field advancement Unconquerable Soul 1. When his health is below 20%, the damage of each incoming attack is reduced by 1.
Schroeder's eyes widened. A boyish smile peeked out from beneath a mop of brown hair.
Thank you, Lord Richter.
You deserve it,
Richter answered with an echoing smile. Roars of appreciation were coming from villagers and freed captives alike. The former slaves knew they owed their freedom to these men and women. With an inner smirk, the Chaos Seed realized his fighting men and women wouldn't be short of loving company that night. He moved to the next man in line, Guard Ox. For each of the 6, he spoke aloud both their advancement and what they had done to earn it. The applause was deafening.
For strangling a goblin fighter with his bare hands while in battle, Ox has earned the field advancement Fell Clutch 1, +1 strength when fighting unarmed. For having the blood of over 10 enemies sprayed upon his face without wiping it clear, Kenjiro has earned the field advancement Never Winced 1. His visage will be fearsome to behold in battle. +3% chance to cause fear status among enemies that can see his face. For shouting rallying encouragements that increase the fighting spirit of the allied forces of the Mist Village and the Hearth Tree, Calder has earned the field advancement Cried Aloud 1. He may now invoke Rallying Cry, a battle technique that will increase the attack and defense of any allies who hear it by +1 for 5 minutes. Cooldown, 20 minutes. Know this, Sergeant Calder has progressed in his fighting abilities so remarkably that he is now considered a champion in battle. Any allies fighting within 100 yards of him now have +1 rank in fighting spirit. This is not cumulative with other champions. For being driven mad at the death of a comrade and finding a rage-fueled strength that led to the death of many adversaries, Tirad has earned the field advancement Wrath and Tears 1. He may now invoke Wrath, a battle technique that provides +1 to strength and constitution for 10 minutes. Cooldown, 1 hour. For fighting with a ferocity that made the goblins think he was death incarnate, Sion has earned the field advancement Horror of the Shade 1. Enemies are hesitant to even look upon such a fearsome warrior. +1% to dodge, and +1% chance for enemies to lose sight of him in battle. Sion and Calder had also progressed in their old field advancements. For standing against a sea of countless foes and remaining strong, Calder has advanced a field advancement to Stem the Tide 3, +3 defense to each piece of medium armor he wears. For relentless hand-to-hand combat against a dangerous and more powerful racial enemy, Sion has advanced a field advancement to Bathe in Black Blood 4. Sion now has +4 damage when fighting goblins. Sion had initially earned his promotion Bathe in Black Blood 1 by fighting against goblins, the racial enemy of the sprites. Seeing him jump from rank 1 to rank 4 in a single battle also helped explain his ominous new field advancement, Horror of the Shade. The battle had been so crazy that Richter had often lost sight of his best friend. For the sprite to have killed enough goblins to jump 3 levels, though, he must have been truly terrifying to behold. Field advancements could be a real force multiplier. Fighters had to fulfill a specific set of criteria to earn them. Then, the war leader they were fighting under had to bestow the promotions. After that, as long as they were fighting in a warband, the advancements could continue to level based on the person's actions, without any input from Richter. Calder was turning into a tank that now also had an AoE capability to bolster his comrades. Sion was now essentially death incarnate when fighting goblins. Richter wouldn't be surprised if the sprite had a slayer title of his own. Tirad looked like he might have gained a type of berserker rage. It was only +1 to strength and constitution, but if the other field advancements were any indication, he could keep leveling it up. +10 to both could really let him do some damage. The fact that Richter, Sion, Tirad, and Calder were all champions now also meant the village's forces would fight harder than ever before. The village was currently rank 1 in fighting spirit, giving a 5% bonus to damage in battle. When his people were fighting near a champion, though, that bonus increased to 10%. The bonus unfortunately didn't extend to champions themselves, but it could make all the difference to the armies they led. That was a mechanic about which Richter still understood little, but what he did know was that killing the enemy's champions could make an army break and run in terror. The only downside to that plan was that champions were typically the biggest badasses in a fight. The crowd cheered at seeing these men, these heroes, grow in power. They had fought for the village, and they were of the village. More than a few of the men and women watching thought, if they can do it, then why can't I? Richter saw the fierceness in his villagers' faces, and so wasn't surprised when he got another prompt. Know this, your act of honoring the strength of your fighters has inspired your people. You have fulfilled your promise that as you rise in power, they shall as well. +10 to village loyalty. He still wasn't done. Shouting out to the crowd, he asked, My people, do you not think that such brave men deserve honor as well as power? The answer was a resounding, Yes! I believe so as well, Richter agreed, shouting over the crowd. Before the noise even died down, he said, First mate on Sion, your authority is officially recognized by the Mist Village. In matters of war, your authority is second only to my own. You and Captain Tirad will have equal rank. While he leads the guards, you will lead the Maedon sprites. He had already discussed this part with his companions, but his friend was still moved. Sion bowed his head and brought his fist to his chest in humbled acceptance and salute. Tirad clapped the sprite on the back with a broad grin on his face. You will need a second in command, Richter said, continuing to shout over the crowd. Do you accept Kenjiro to serve beneath you in leading the Maidan warriors of the Mist Village?
I do, Sion said, picking his head up and smiling.
The words were mere formality, as the two friends had already discussed it. The shock on Kenjiro's face was priceless. Richter had to struggle to keep from laughing. The man had been a forest sprite before he bonded with his pixie. Forest and wood sprites really didn't get along, classically. It wasn't a racial hatred, but more along the lines of how city and country folk just didn't see eye to eye. That had played a role in the decision. In addition to Kenjiro being a fierce warrior, Sion and Richter had thought choosing a sprite that had been part of another race to be his second in command could help remove any lingering divides that existed amidst the Maidan sprites.
Do you accept this honor? Richter asked.
When Kenjiro numbly nodded, still shocked, the Chaos Seed boomed.
So be it! You will have military rank in the Mist Village equivalent to Sergeant Calder. After myself and Sion, you have command over the Maidan sprites.
The cheering hadn't stopped. To round out the pronouncements, Richter made Ox and Schroeder both corporals in the guards, reporting to Sergeant Calder. Richter was delighted when another prompt appeared in his vision.
Know this. Not only have you kept your promise to share power, but you have given your villagers positions of authority as well. This resonates well with your entire populace. Previous award of +10 to loyalty has been increased. +20 to village loyalty.
Mist villagers! Richter called out, raising a hand for quiet. Mist villagers! We are not alone here. There are others among us. Men, women, and children. Dwarves, humans, elves, sprites, and gnomes that were enslaved by the goblins. By the blood of our people and lives of our allies, these people are now free. Will we honor their sacrifice?
The cheers and shouts were truly overwhelming. Richter smiled at his people and didn't try to quiet them this time. He looked around at the others at the high table and saw that they shared his happiness. The Hearthmother smiled easily, and even Yoshi had one corner of his mouth upturned. Richter turned back to the crowd and couldn't still the mischief in his heart. He cupped one hand to his ear like he couldn't hear the shouts and cheers. His people laughed and cried out even louder. He laughed heartily along with them and then waved for them to quiet again. After a minute, he looked out over the crowd and specifically made eye contact with as many of the freed prisoners as possible. A smile lay lightly on his face, but there was also a serious look in his eye. The entire feast area grew quiet while they waited for his next words.
This world is not safe. We all know that. We have all lost people we cared about.
Richter made eye contact with everyone at the high table again, and they each nodded back. The land was full of magic and wonder, but it did not change this harsh reality. Even the bravest could fall. Richter looked back at the crowd again, and emotion shook his voice.
But we are still here!
The thunder of his people shook the feast area.
We are stronger together, and I know that together we can overcome the forces that are conspiring against us. Make no mistake, there are people, bastards, Richter spat, that want to take what we have built. Will we let them?
Richter shouted.
No!
Was the resounding call.
We will kill them!
I will follow you through death, Lord Richter!
Lord Richter!
Lord Richter! Death to the enemies of the Mist! Lord Mist! Lord Mist! Lord Mist!
Even Richter was taken aback by the vehemence of his people and was surprised by what apparently was his new moniker. He had expected a show of solidarity, but both men and women were on their feet. They were shouting at the tops of their lungs. In their faces, he saw passion, devotion, and zealotry. These people were truly with him. They believed in him, and they would die for that belief. Richter could see that they would kill for that belief. What's more, many of them seemed positively thirsty for blood. It was with a shock that he realized something. His people were predators. He had wanted the freed prisoners to know how united the Mist Village was. They had been shown that beyond a shadow of a doubt. It may have even been a bit too strong a show of support. The former slaves had been smiling, but now, after hearing the bloodlust in his people's voices, many looked about fearfully again.
My villagers!
Richter called out, silencing them a third time. He needed to portray the right message.
We are strong as individuals, but we are stronger together. Do I speak truth?
Another chorus of,
Yes!
And I! Rang out.
But our strength is not enough. We stand for a greater ideal, do we not?
Yes!
Rang out from hundreds of mouths. Randolphus stepped forward.
Through service, ascendance.
Through dedication, transcendence!
Was the thundering reply.
What that means,
Richter called out, everyone quieting now without needing prompting,
is that you may find a home here as well.
It stayed quiet as all the former prisoners looked at one another. Who was this strange lord speaking to? Who would be allowed to stay in his village? And more importantly, what would they have to do? Months and years under the lash of goblin overseers had taught many of them to fear happiness and kindness. The pain that followed was always worse. Richter let them process for a few moments before speaking again.
My invitation is to all of you. No one will be allowed to stay without first being interviewed by my truth-sayer, but if your heart is true, you can find a home here. I do not promise you safety, for only fools or liars would make such a boast. I will make you the same promise that I made to every single person in my village. As I rise, so shall you, and no matter what comes in the future, I will stand with you to meet it.
Some of the freed slaves looked like they wanted to ask questions and speak up, but Richter forestalled the potential pandemonium.
Any who wish to return to their old homes, I will do what I can to see you safely returned. You must know that my people have their own enemies, though. So as I said, I cannot promise you safe passage. In either case, you have time to decide. There is plenty of time to discuss these things later. Tonight is about celebration. Enjoy my hospitality. Meet my people. Breathe free air. Tomorrow will come soon enough. In the meantime,
and a grin found its way back onto Richter's face,
we will show you that no matter what else is true of us, the Mist Village knows how to party!
Cheers rose up again. Richter was about to gesture for the feast to begin when he saw Sion walking towards him. The sprite gestured, asking if he could say a few words. Bemused, Richter agreed. His friend clapped him on the shoulder, then took his place at the front of the small stage. All quieted to hear his words. In solemnity and all ceremony, Sion raised a mug. Then a crazy grin of his own stole across his face and he shouted,
Let's get pissed!
Cheers and laughter rang out over the crowd. Freed prisoners and villagers alike. Richter looked at his friend in amusement, who laughed maniacally before quaffing his ale. It was a good moment. That was when he felt it. Before it even happened, Richter knew it was coming. It was like he was suddenly gifted with the power of foresight. Even with this sudden awareness, he was too slow. By the time he had turned back to the crowd, the perpetrator was hidden amidst the hundreds of people gathered for the feast. The echoing call still hung in the air, though, the mocking invitation of a quest Richter intended to complete.
Gnomes rule!
Chapter 35, Day 142, Kuborn 32. Zero AOC. The party was a success. The Koran Tuskers from the dungeon were absolutely delicious. The village cooks had followed his directions, and several were roasting over pits. His people had seasoned them with basic spices such as salt, pepper, and sage, and had also glazed some of the pigs with a sauce rendered from wild fruits. Richter's mouth was watering when he dug in. There were fresh loaves of bread, churned butter, seasoned vegetables, and cold drinks. Ale flowed freely. Some of the dwarves bemoaned the fact that Zar the Earthmage was absent for his trial. The geomancer's spell to increase the potency of mead and other alcoholic beverages had already become legend. That sadness only lasted until Richter revealed his moonshine. The Chaos Seed had let the complaining go on for about 30 minutes. Then, with evil in his heart, he took one of the clear glass bottles from a mistworker holding them. He walked over to a particularly loud table of dwarven miners and set down 5 small cups along with the hooch. They greeted him with smiles, but still continued their complaints about the booze, as dwarves were wont to do. He told them that he might have something they would like. Richter poured a shot into each of the cups, though he made sure he poured a triple shot for the dwarf that had been talking the most shit. He told them that the drinks must be downed all at once, and then raised a toast to the Mist Village. The dwarves couldn't ask any questions about the clear liquid, or they would risk being rude. Dwarves could be as rough as a sandpaper condom, but none would give the grave insult of refusing a toast unless they were prepared to spill blood. To a man, they downed the rot-gut Richter had poured them, and that was when the party really got started. Coughs and hacks were punctuated by calloused hands slamming on the table. The dwarf Richter had given the triple shot to could barely breathe. He just looked at Richter with tears running down into his beard. The Chaos Seed didn't make it any better when he cackled and pointed his finger into the miner's face.
I got you good, you fucker!
The dwarves all thought it was a pretty good joke once they could breathe again. When he left them the rest of the bottle, he became their best friend. Richter repeated his prank 5 more times before people began to catch on. After that, he just passed the bottles around, and the party kept going. The freed prisoners were initially hesitant despite his speech, but another truth that seemed to transcend all boundaries was that good food and strong booze made everyone family, at least for a while. His people mingled with them, and many of the wood sprites shared in the celebration. Tirad had ordered some of the guards to stand watch, of course, and Hisako had contributed her own troops to assure the safety of the village. Nothing was ever sure in the land, but Richter felt like his settlement was reasonably safe that night. The pixies joined the feast and began to sing. To Richter's relief, their song was one of joy. They flew above the heads of all present. The song was initially faint, but it grew in volume quickly. The intensity and beauty of the sound was more than the small beings should have been able to produce. They flew in intricate patterns, trailing pixie dust. In the center, the queen hovered. Her voice filled the miniature cracks in everyone's soul, and they felt complete and unified. The pixie's ability triggered. Know this, you are basking in the song of true welcome. Life is to be treasured, but it always takes a toll. Nerves will fray, hurts will accumulate, and the spirit, initially pliable and open, can become cold and withdrawn. Listening to this celestial song brings all who hear it to a warmer and more open state of being, plus 100% to positive relationship changes for the next 7 days. The only thing that we have found to make the emptiness bearable is each other. Richter looked around at the former prisoners and saw that their wariness was fading away. The people moved around and smiled a bit more freely. Some of the villagers climbed onto the small stage and began playing a country tune. After that, only minutes passed before the tables were moved out of the way and people began to dance. The center of the feast area became a potpourri of different styles. From what Richter could see, some high elves were doing a waltz, while wood elves danced right next to them, shaking their bodies with abandon. The dwarvish men did a stomping hop that had well-defined steps, while the dwarven women jeered at them good-naturedly. Some of the gnomes looked to be doing a square dance of all things, and the humans just swung each other around with joy. It was a complete mess. Richter loved every moment of it. Something strange happened in the middle of the party. Richter experienced a weird sensation, like he felt when he entered the dungeon. That was diffuse, though, and this felt targeted off somewhere behind him. When he turned to look in that direction, the feeling disappeared. It made him curious, but then Deera danced in front of him, swirling her skirts. That was a much better use of his curiosity, he decided. About 2 hours into the festivities, Richter was sitting down at a table when he caught sight of a familiar redhead making her way through the crowd. Richter was feeling no pain by this point, and he held a bottle of moonshine loosely in one hand. He had left the high table long ago and had enjoyed a few turns on the dance floor. Now he sat talking to one of the freed prisoners, Annalise. She was a human who had not one but two professions. She was both a miner and a crafter. He had just about convinced her to give him some tips in both.
"I'm not sure that I want to stay in this little forest village you have," the miner was saying with a faint smile on her face.
Richter had been generous in sharing his moonshine, so she was feeling quite all right herself. He had been about to answer, but catching sight of Lorala pulled his attention away. Annalise followed his gaze, curious as to what had him suddenly so distracted. When she saw the voluptuous wood elf, she took an immediate and irrational dislike to her.
"Well met, Lord Richter,"
the redhead said with a small smirk. "Hello, Lorala," he replied slowly. His gaze roamed over her body as he said it. Her cream-colored skin was beginning to tan in the summer sun. It brought out a smattering of freckles that he hadn't seen before. They further cemented the head cheerleader vibe he had always had of her. Of course, the supple dress she was wearing didn't hurt either. It was pure white, with a bit of lace on the hem. It was clear she had been dancing as well, judging by the grass stains on her bare feet and the fact that the fabric of her dress was stuck to her body by a faint sheen of sweat. Not for the first time, Richter thanked Abrams and Whedon that bras hadn't been invented yet in the land.
"Who is your friend, Richter?"
Annalise asked sweetly, turning her attention to Lorala.
"Would you like something to drink? Or maybe a towel?"
Sensing the danger in the air, Richter hesitated for a moment. Lorala spoke up before he could answer.
"Oh, we're more than friends, sweetie."
Her voice was as sugared as children's medicine.
"Much more. You are so considerate to look after my appearance, though. Not many would offer to give when they have so little themselves."
She gave a tittering laugh and rested one hand on Richter's shoulder.
"My name is Lorala."
"Ha, ha, ha," Annalise responded with absolutely no mirth.
"You are so amusing. You may call me Crafter Annalise."
She put the faintest of emphasis on her title. Then she adopted a speculative look for a few seconds before saying,
"I should have guessed your name was Lorala."
"Oh?"
the elf asked mildly. Her tone was light, but her nails dug ever so slightly into Richter's shoulder. For his own part, the Chaos Seed decided to operate by dinosaur rules. If he stayed absolutely still, maybe the two snarling monsters wouldn't see him.
"Of course," Annalise said with a smile. "Lorala? Lore? I assume every man in the village has knowledge of you."
"God damn!" Richter thought.
The elf bared her teeth in a way that only a blind man wouldn't recognize as a snarl, though Richter supposed it could be called a smile.
"Lord Richter, you have such interesting friends. You really should come dance with me, however. Look how exhausting your conversation has been for poor Annalise. She looks absolutely dreadful." "Richter,"
the crafter began, again, leaving off his title as if to illustrate the independence she possessed but Lorala lacked.
"And I, we're having a wonderful conversation. I'm sure he would like to continue it." "Is that so?"
Lorala asked archly. She stared daggers at the woman, but then turned her attention to Richter. Annalise did the same.
"Lord Richter?"
As two angry sets of eyes bored into him, one soft brown and the other a startling green, all Richter heard was General Akbar saying,
"It's a trap!"
And then Richter's luck stat came through. Bayon, his death mage gnome, walked up, or perhaps stumbled up, to the table with two mugs of ale. Even the bald top of the gnome's head was red with drink.
"My lord, we haven't shared a toast to your victory. Will you join me?"
"Of course I will, my friend,"
Richter replied quickly with a broad smile. In his head, though, he was just wondering how his balls could possibly have gotten so sweaty in such a short amount of time. He stood up and took a mug from Bayon. After clinking them together, he and the gnome downed their glasses in one fell swoop.
"One more!"
The gnome slurred and pulled Richter away from the table to refill their glasses. He just looked back at the two women with a helpless smile on his face as Bayon dragged him off. They both glared daggers at him, but Richter decided that was a worry for another time.
When they were out of earshot, Richter leaned over and said, "Ban, you have no idea what you just helped me out of." In a voice much more clear-headed than the one he had used only moments before, Ban replied,
"I know exactly what I just helped you with. I normally do not insert myself in others' affairs, but in my culture,